what I've done over the last few weeks is I've spent some weeks encouraging us about this church and about the vision of this church. And what I've said is we dare not separate what happens in our personal lives with what happens as a church, because they're one and the same. The truth is both truth personally and it's truth corporately. And sometimes when we talk about what a church is about, we can detach ourselves and think, well, that's kind of church, that's not me. But what I've talked about is this is all about you, because whenever we get together, what happens on a Sunday is simply an expression of what goes on in your life during the week. And you can't come on a Sunday and switch it on. I mean, if you don't open your Bible during the week, don't expect to come on a Sunday and get lots and lots out of it. And then what happens is people don't open their Bibles during the week, or they don't worship during the week, or they don't pray, and then they come and they go, church is rubbish. I just didn't feel blessed. The worship was terrible, or all this kind of stuff. And what I've been trying to do is to say that this church, the message that we teach is about how you encounter Jesus in his presence and in his power on a wet Tuesday in February. When your world is crashing down and things are difficult and things are hard, I want to encourage you that the truth that I believe God's put in our heart for you will transform your life on those days. And so whenever we come together as a church, we'll simply give expression to everything that God is doing in all the individuals. And I've said that if we can sum this church up, it's about the presence of God, the promises of God, and the power of God. It's not about building a church. It's not about building a reputation. Genuinely not interested in any of that. I have a heart to see a place where men and women and kids encounter Jesus Christ in his presence and in his power. That's all I want to see. It's why we're doing it. It's where we encounter his love, we encounter his grace. It's about where we encounter forgiveness, where we find healing for our bodies, our souls, and our spirits, and we discover the purpose that God has for our lives. That's what this church is simply about. And last week, this is part two of a talk that I did 2 weeks ago. And if you were here a couple of weeks ago, I started to speak on Goliath, David and Goliath. And what I said was Goliath and the story of that, it's a hackneyed story. And it's a hard one to preach on in one way. But basically, Goliath stands for judgment. What would happen is, you know, we think that, you know, preachers will preach all the time about, you know, battles in your life and God is with you. And that is all true. But actually, Goliath, and you look at the symbolism of Goliath in the Bible, he was head to foot covered in bronze. And bronze always signifies judgment in the Bible. Gold signifies holiness, silver redemption, and bronze signifies judgment. And so what Goliath came against the people of God with every day, it wasn't a physical battle. He wasn't fighting them per se with what he had in his hands. He came against them every day with judgment. He cursed God and he defied God. They were a people of covenant and a people of blessing. They had the promises of God spoken over their lives that they would be blessed this generation and all the generations to come. And what does Goliath do? He comes out morning, noon, and night, and he defies the promise of God. And it was enough to paralyze the nation. They allowed what they saw with their physical eyes to become bigger than the promise that God had spoken into their lives and over their lives. There was incredible words for the people of God, and I drew the parallel, okay? So you need to catch up quickly with me here as I speak. I drew the parallel between the people of God and us today, because we are a covenant people. We have a covenant of grace through Jesus Christ, a covenant of favor, a covenant of blessing, and in the same way that the people of Israel had to fight their battle, we have to fight exactly the same battle today, which is when the promise of God is spoken over our lives and the words of God are spoken over our lives, the devil will come to make what we see with our physical eyes bigger than the promises that God has spoken. And if he can do that, he neutralizes you, he kills faith, and simply what happens is we become a people who go through all the motions, but we never see the kingdom come. Yeah, does that make sense? And that's why I said as a church that we will not allow intimidation and fear and judgment to be bigger in our lives personally than the words that God has spoken. And that's why we do this church. That's why we have Exchange Church. It may mean that people get offended, but I will never water down what I believe the word says. Like Eliab in this story, the older brother will attack you. They question your heart at times. They question your motives. And above everything else, they say that, you know, how dare you say that? Religious spirit in Northern Ireland is brilliant at it. But let me tell you something. I have found in my life, there is no other foundation for life other than saying, God, if you said it, it is true. And I might be tempted, Lord, at times to go, Well, I'm not saying this, okay? I've had many times in my life where I've thought, God, I am not saying this word happen. And the Lord put on our hearts many years ago to go, Andrew, if your life is not reflecting the promise that I have over your life right now, get into my promises, get into my word, get into my presence, and stay there until your life reflects Jesus and you don't try to make Jesus reflect your life. Because that's where there's freedom. Think about those areas in your life where you've had to fight battles where there's people defying the word of God, the enemy defying the word, people around you saying, don't dream too much, don't hope too much. You don't really have a future. Don't really, you know, all this stuff that comes against us. And I want to encourage you today, what we tend to do is we tend to dumb down what the word says, and we have really good reasons with years of experience as to why God's word is not really that true. Or it's a bit hit and miss. But the promise of God stands above all. And I want to encourage you that whenever David looked at the same intimidation and judgment, that he wasn't afraid. And that's what I want for you and for me. For you to look at your life and whatever comes your way, to have the heart of David. Because he knew how to stand on the promises that God had spoken over his life. He knew how to lead a country and a people into the promises that God had spoken over their life. He was only a kid, probably 18. And what right would he have ever had to say the things that he said? What made him able? He wasn't bigger. He wasn't stronger. He didn't have any military training. But you know what set him apart? As the word says, he was a man after God's heart. What he was able to do, he was able to look at situations and see them not with the physical eyes that everyone else saw them with. He didn't register them the same way as everyone else. His only filter was, what had God said about that? And I want to encourage some of you to get back to that place. Get back to that place where the first thing that we go to whenever we're confronted with a situation tomorrow morning is, what does the Lord say about this? What does his word say over my life for this situation? If you're thinking about your future, it's good to have good counsel and godly counsel, and I absolutely believe in that. But first and foremost, what is the Holy Spirit of God saying to you, and how is he revealing the promises of God over your life? Let's get back to being a people who say, Lord, if your word says it, we're going to stand on it and believe it to be true. And they might mock, they might point the finger, they might say you're crazy, but you know what? If you want to see Goliath fall in your life, you've got to be a person of covenant. If David, and I said this 2 weeks ago, if David had have listened to the judgment from the other side, from Goliath himself, if he had listened to his older brothers, if he had listened to the king himself, he would never have gone out to face Goliath, because they all told him he was mad and he couldn't do it. But what was it about him? He was a man of covenant. God has said it, so I will stand on it. And so that's why his heart was different. He had already learned that God wasn't concerned with what the outward appearance was. He knew that God looked at the inside, so he didn't judge himself or others from what they saw. But his internal mechanism, his heart, his soul, and his spirit was entirely focused on, God, you spoke this, and I'm going to believe it to be true. Some of you got to take a risk this week. Some of you have got to take a risk this week to say, you know what? There's times where I back off. There's times where I don't commit fully. There's times where I say, God, I am so disappointed because, to be honest, you didn't come through for me in the past. And the Lord is saying to our church particularly, saying, no. If I said it, I will do it, but I need a people who understand that the covenant stands above it all. Christ and his work, perfect and complete, John 19:30, never to be added to or taken away from, is more than sufficient for you this week in 21st century Belfast to live in the goodness, the fullness, and the favor of God himself, to be an overcomer and not to be overcome. Amen. I believe that. Amen. And if I didn't believe it, I would be playing golf this morning, probably. Terry's a great golfer, by the way. He should be, for all the practice he gets. Isn't that right? We joke, Terry. Do you know, can I just say with Terry, right? My very first job ever was working for Terry when I was 12. I was trying to work this out. It's nearly 28 years ago. And do you know what he made me do? Can I just say, I worked for £1 an hour. I was only 12. You get arrested for that today, Terry. But the thing is, I remember driving into the yard, which was at the back of what is now CFC Hollywood. Can you remember what you asked me to do? Shift blocks. And all you asked me to do, I was a wee fella, young and impressionable, starting my first day's work in the summer. And Terry said to me, move them blocks, about 200 breeze blocks, and move them over there. And you know what it did? As I lifted the last one, he said, that's the wrong place. Could you move them back to there? I thought, slobber. Do you know what I mean? Sorry, I'd have got over it after many years. But no, Terry gave me my start in the building trade, which lasted for a good 3 weeks, I think. In 1 Samuel 17, 26, David says this incredible line. He said, who's this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David expresses an attitude and a heart that refused to be intimidated, refused to be judged by anything else other than the covenant that God had made with him and the people. So I want to say to you this week, do you want breakthrough this week? Do you want to see the giants fall in your life? Do you want to see the giants fall in situations that have been going on for a long time? If you do, then don't gripe, don't moan, don't complain, don't be bitter, don't be unforgiving, don't gossip. You need a different attitude, and that attitude will come from being rooted and grounded and centered on the promise that God speaks over your life. Put Jesus and his work front and center. Jesus and his work front and center every day. That is your responsibility to do that. So let me just go through a couple of things. I know that many of us have big things that we're facing in our lives. And one of the things about this story, and it's an obvious point, is that the bigger the opposition that you face, the bigger the story that you're going to have to tell. Many Christians, you see, get bowled over by that which is in front of them. Let's be honest. I was thinking about this during the week. See, if David had killed a midget, would we be talking about him today? I thought about this today. Can you imagine David going back to Jesse and going, Dad, I killed a midget. David the midget killer. It doesn't really have the same ring, does it? And can you say midget? Is that the one you can't say or you can't? No? Oh, flipping Nora. There we go again. Sorry for offending vertically challenged people. I killed the vertically challenged people. You know, but the thing is, David killed a giant. And today we talk about him. And I want to ask some people to dare to believe this morning, because if you're being faced down by fear and intimidation and judgment and threat from whatever source it comes from, I want to tell you today, every opportunity is given to you through Christ himself to be not a midget killer, but a giant killer. To stand on the promises of God and to see them come through and the Holy Spirit bring those alive in your life so that you break through, okay? And I'm going to show you today two quick steps from this story as to how you stand and learn to grow in the promises of God, because it's hidden in the story. Because we have to get real, don't we? How many people have gone out to face Goliaths and have come back not with a victory story but feeling like you got your backside kicked? Well, honestly, see, the rest of you should be preaching. No, seriously, face down something, come on, Marty. You know, face down something in your life, and you feel like, actually, God, you didn't come through. I stood up to my Goliath, and I got whipped. I'm still living with some of the disappointment. Anyone? We need to get real, don't we? Sometimes we feel like we've had our heads cut off and not the other way around, like we failed, like we've prayed for sick people, and they're still sick. We prayed for jobs, and we didn't get them. We prayed for relationships and they didn't work out. And life is like that. Sometimes, honestly, as Christians, we can come into a place where our trust is low and our confidence is low. And that's okay. Maybe like Saul and like Israel, you're in a state of paralysis this morning. No real momentum, no moving forward. There's fear in your life. But here's a really, really important point. Whenever you feel like that and you're battling things which are hard, do not be tempted to renegotiate the covenant that God gave you. Don't go there. Sometimes whenever we feel disappointed, we start to renegotiate what Jesus did. And we start to recreate the work of Christ to reflect what our lives are like, rather than staying in the presence of God until we are changed and molded to be more like Jesus again. Don't be tempted this week to renegotiate the deal. In Numbers 23, we read this: God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do, or has he spoken and will he not make it good? Behold, I have received the command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. What I'm trying to tell you is this: don't renegotiate. Get into the presence of God, because when God speaks a word to bless you, no man, no principality, no power above the earth, on the earth, or below the earth can reverse the word that God speaks over your life. Nobody can do it. Get rooted and grounded in God's love and covenant for you, because when he speaks it, no one will reverse it. Isn't that amazing? Think about your life this week and think about the words and you think about your family and what they're going through and just say, God, you have given a command to bless and nobody will reverse it. Our experience at times can dictate what we believe and it becomes a determining factor. We can be tempted at times to surround ourselves with people who feel the same way. And before long, we redefine God and his promises rather than allowing Jesus and his promises to define us. And the result is that we live way below what we are called for. I want to tell you every promise over your life today is true. You are an overcomer. You've been anointed. You have the power of God himself living in you. So let's learn how to grow in the promises. What did David do? Let me read for you. If you've got your Bibles, 1 Samuel 17. I'm going to be done in about 15 minutes. David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it. And I delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. So Saul clothed David with his armor. He put on a bronze helmet on his head, and he also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Then he took a staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. Here's a really incredible principle. Before David fought Goliath, he learned how to fight the lion and the bear. This is a principle for life which shows us how we sometimes wait in our lives till we are facing the big things. Life gets tragic. We call out to God. Sometimes God comes through. Sometimes he doesn't. Then we feel disappointed. We don't know how to cope with that at times. And inside our internal stuff just dies down a little bit. And we go, God, the next time I have to go out and face my Goliath, I'm just not as confident as I should be because my trust is low. We don't need to live like that. Here was a David in this story who had already proved God to be faithful. When he was hidden away from view on a hillside looking after sheep where no one else could see him, he learned to stand on the promises that God had spoken over him in that place. David's attitude was this. When he went out to face the big things in his life, where did his trust and his confidence come from? Well, it came from the fact that when he was hidden from view, away from the spotlight, that he had killed the smaller things. He had learned to see God's promises come through in the smaller things of life. So when he was faced with the big thing in front of the army and the public showdown, he had trust and confidence. Why? Because he could go back in his life and say, I saw God faithful there, and I saw the promises of God come through for me there. And if God will do it then, he will do it now, and he will do it in the future. Amen. David's attitude was this. It's described in Luke 16. He who is faithful in what is least is also faithful in much. I want to encourage you this week. Build moments into your life, okay, where you take daily decisions to trust God, even in what seems to be small and insignificant. Do you know why? That is how faith builds. The word says you've been given a measure of faith, but we learn how to grow and operate in the faith that God has given us. And how do we do that? Well, we certainly don't wait for cancer to strike. Honestly. I'm really encouraged this morning as Terry is praying for knees and he's praying. They prayed for my man glands, okay? And they mocked my man glands. I've got man glands this morning. And they mocked them before they spoke to them. But they did pray for them anyway, do you know what I mean? And I felt blessed, kind of. And the point is this. It's so simple. But if you wait for the tragic to come, you won't have the foundation to stand on and you'll end up disappointed. Do you know how big faith comes along? Big faith is simply the sum total of lots of steps of little faith. Do you get me? Learn how to fight the lions and the bears this week. When your kids are sick, stick your hands on them and speak life over them. You know, learn to give thanks when nobody else is there to see. Learn how to say, God, what are you saying in this moment over my life? And what does your promise say? And I'm going to stand on it and speak over it. We've got to learn how to see God break through in the little things because big victories are the fruit of lots and lots of small victories. If you coast and you want to take shortcuts, then don't be surprised if you get your clock cleaned by the next Goliath that comes your way. Don't be surprised. The principle is clear. I want to ask you, when are you going to start and trust God? Are you waiting simply for the tragic? You know what? You know what I've found in my life? See, people who have an incredible ministry of healing, it's not that they're superheroes. It's not that they're more blessed or they're more anointed. They've got the same Holy Spirit that you and I have. They have the same promise that you and I have. But what they do, time and time again, I've seen this and I've noted it mentally, is whenever they see sickness of any kind, they come against it right then. It might be a headache. It might be a sore finger. It might be something much bigger. But their response is, I will not look at it the way that everyone else sees it. I will look at it through the eyes of Jesus and through the covenant of Jesus. And whenever He saw sickness, He came against it, and He cursed it as an interloper and not part of our inheritance. And so whenever we see them on the stage and people are coming out of wheelchairs, it's because on the Mondays through the Sundays, when nobody else is looking, they learn to fight the lion and the bear. Do you know what? This is a word of encouragement. If you're wondering why when the tragic comes, you don't break through, I want to encourage you. The Lord simply says, take my promise today and learn how to operate in it when nobody else is looking. Because what happens is then you become... Actually, you're a confidence and a trust that my God, that's why we do testimony. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. I've seen you to be faithful. You've proved yourself good to your word. You have given a word to bless and nobody can reverse it. And you know what? On a Tuesday in February when the rain was crashing in, I was cold and I was lonely and I was afraid. You broke through for me, Lord. Bang, that lion's down. Do you get me? You learn to grow in faith. You learn to grow in the promises of God. You learn to grow into the covenant that God has given you. I want to encourage some people today where you've been disappointed because you've gone out to fight Goliath. The Lord says to you, it's fine. There's times where we see miracles and God breaking through. But I honestly believe we need to leave blessed. We need to live blessed and not go from miracle to miracle. I want to live seeing the kingdom of God break through every day and not just for those crisis moments where we really need it. And God is good and He will break through. But you know what a better plan for your life is? A better plan for our life and a better plan for this city is to be a people who see God move in the small things. Learn to fight the lion and the bear. Have a different perspective this week. That's how you grow in faith. In Mark 4, actually it's laid out for us. This is what the kingdom's like. You accelerate and you build up speed. It's a kingdom principle. You learn to wield the authority that Christ has placed in you and the work that He's put in you. Jesus said this, God's kingdom is like a seed thrown onto a field by a man who then goes to bed and forgets about it. The seed sprouts and grows. He has no idea how it happens. The earth grows, does all it does without His help. First a green stem of grass, then a bud, then ripened again. And when the grain is fully formed, he reaps harvest time. The principle of the kingdom of God in you is that it grows. It grows. Do you know what that means? You know what the good news about that today is? It doesn't matter where you're at or where you feel you're at compared to somebody else. The Lord says to you today, I have placed this, my Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead in you, is in you today. Now you can learn little thing by little thing, the little things that matter to you in the week. Learn to be a man or a woman who goes straight to that promise, prays it and applies it. You know what? You might need to fight a few lions and a few bears before you see your first breakthrough. But I promise you, your big victory will come off the back of lots of little victories. Many people just get disappointed with God because we cut corners. We don't open the word. We don't pray. We don't get fellowship together. We don't worship. We don't walk in forgiveness. We moan and we gripe and we complain. We're bitter. And then we come to big things in our lives and we wonder why we get our heads cleaned. Let's get real. Go to the word and He'll tell you, put my covenant first and foremost. Put Jesus and His work front and center and learn to fight the lion and the bear. You'll grow in that promise. Don't underestimate the power of that lesson. I believe it will set you up to overcome. You know the interesting thing? Eliab, the older critical brother in this story, he says something that struck me during the week. He points at David and he goes, who's minding those few sheep? I thought about that and I thought, here's a really cool thing about David. His big brother's having a go. And the detail there is David learned to be faithful in the little things. And he took the promise of God when he was only looking after. He wasn't like a master farmer with thousands of sheep. It was a few sheep. And I probably would imagine that in Jesse's eyes, those sheep are not as important as his youngest son. But David put his life on the line and saw God come through for just a few sheep. Do you understand that? You see, to everybody else, when God's asking you to be faithful in the little things and to be a person of promise for your land and your bear, it may look insignificant to everybody else, but God has a different view of what He has for you in the future. Do you understand? And so we need to be so focused on what he is saying for us to do each and every day. Because when you do the little and you're faithful in the little, God will put you in the place where you will see the big fall. Amen? That's what we're talking about. The second thing is this, armor. Another reason why we want to have Jesus, his presence and his promises at the center of this church, the center of our lives, and at the center of everything that we do is this, this verse here. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor. This is the king getting wee boy David ready to fight the giant, for he had not tested them. He tried to walk, but he couldn't because he hadn't tested them. David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Now, here's a really important point for walking in the promises of God and learning how to grow so that when we face big situations in our lives and as a church, that we don't get our heads cleaned off our shoulders, is this. I honestly believe that most of the time, the people in our lives act with the very best of intentions. But this lesson is clear. We have to learn, if we want to learn to be overcomers, if we want to see the kingdom of God come, we cannot take on those things which people like to put on our shoulders at times. This is why I'm saying Jesus first, Jesus' promise first, before anything or anyone else. Saul's armor, here's the interesting thing. You have Saul coming along and saying, listen, now Saul was a chicken, all right? Absolute chicken. He wouldn't go out and fight. He was the king. He's paralyzed. And because the king's paralyzed, the whole nation's paralyzed. And there, here you have a young boy who's prepared to go, this uncircumcised Philistine, he doesn't have a covenant with God, but we do. I'll go out and face him. And what does Saul do? He says, here, take all my stuff. Now go out and fight him. Now the interesting thing is, that armor was doing Saul no good whatsoever. Now listen to me. It wasn't gaining him victory or granting him victory. Saul wasn't seeing breakthrough, so what made him think that it would do David any good? It's not that armor is a bad thing. I think Saul's intentions were really good. David, I don't want you to get killed because that's going to make us all look bad. But armor speaks of protection. It speaks of staying safe. His intention was good, but actually his good intention was a hindrance to what God was actually trying to do. This is why, first and foremost, I want in your life your first response to be, what does God say? What does God say? What does Jesus say? What is the work of Jesus like? Do you see what I'm saying? Because if we don't go to Jesus and his work first, if we don't make his promises front and center, what we're going to find is people with the very best intentions will come along and put all their stuff onto us, even though it doesn't work for them. Do you get me? Does that make sense? And I'm not saying that they're bad people. I'm just saying that when God speaks a word over your life, you don't need anything else. Now, am I saying that you don't need good counsel? You don't need godly counsel? Absolutely, of course we do, because that is as biblical as you will find. But men and women have got to grow up in the promise that God has spoken over their lives. And it's really hard to have Jesus at the center if you don't believe what his word says. And so I'm really excited about us learning to be a people who say, before I take on anyone else's experience, fear, anyone else's judgment, before I take on anyone else's stuff, even though they may be trying for the very best intention to keep me safe, if God has spoken a word over my life, I'm going to put him first. Do you understand? People give us the benefit of what they think. Like I said, let me say it again, there is a place for good, godly counsel. It's right and it's godly. But what I've decided to do is look for the fruit in people's lives. Now, being a leader of a church makes you an obvious target. You know, I've got lots of people who read the books, know the theory of how it should work. And what the Lord said to me is this. If David knew anything, he knew that God had spoken over his life. And when he looked at the fruit in Saul's life, he knew not to take on what Saul was giving him. Oftentimes what we want to do is we want to blame other people. I'm going to be really honest, but we've got to take responsibility for ourselves. We can't allow people to dump on us and then go, it was their fault. We've got to learn to stand up and grow in the promises that God has spoken over our lives. And we do that by proving him in the faithful and then being so focused. You know, David put this stuff on, but he was quick enough to go, this doesn't really fit. Saul, I'm not saying your heart's bad towards me. I'm not saying your intention's bad, but this doesn't fit with what God has spoken. You know, Penny and I had to do that in our lives. on a number of occasions where God spoke promises over our lives, particularly in the area of children. And we had many good intentioned people saying, don't get your hopes up. Don't believe for too much. You know what? Why don't you just dumb it down and go for adoption? Don't really believe that God could break through. And as I say now, I'm really keen to say, God, please, no more children. Do you know what I mean? He proved himself faithful, and we've said to him, please don't be any more faithful than what you've been, because if I have another child, I'm going to New Zealand. All right? So that's where we're at. Do you know what? Be aware of people who want to fix you. Oftentimes, what happened with Saul here was what he was doing was, in a spiritual sense, I believe he was transferring his fear onto David. Do you understand the armor, although it spoke of significance or spoke of protection and safety, actually in a spiritual sense what was happening was Saul was transferring his fear and his own stuff onto David, which I believe was undermining the promise that God had spoken. Some of you this morning need to let go of what people, despite their well-intentioned good advice, have said and spoken over you. Get back to what the promise of God is over your life. If he has spoken a word and he has spoken a word to bless, nobody can reverse it. Please don't reject people, but don't allow them permission in your life to talk you down from what the promise of God says first. Some people don't understand even the fear that they operate out of themselves. And when you make a stand and say, no, I believe that God has said this, like Eliab, they will allow anger in their hearts at times. They'll try to own from their own place of fear to try to take you down from what God is saying. But I believe if there's ever a time now in this country for people to go, I am taking off everything that hinders and I'm putting my face to Christ and to his work, this is the time for it. That's why we're going to do this, church, this year. Every promise that he speaks, every word that he speaks, everything that he says in the work of Christ, which is ours through the Spirit of God, we are laying hold of it and claim of it, and we want to see the kingdom of God come. So there's the two things I want to say to you this morning. If you want to fight Goliath, learn how to fight the lion and the bear. Why? Because you have to learn to grow in what God has put in you. Second thing is this. Do not take on board well-intentioned, well-meaning stuff from other people if you don't see the fruit of it in their lives. If you don't see that fruit, then you're quite allowed to say, no, listen, God has spoken this to me, and I'm going to stand on what God says. I believe there's personal breakthrough in all of that. Some of us need to take off some of the stuff that people have said over us, take off some of the lies, take off some of the fear, no matter how well-intentioned it was, and say, God, get me back to that place where Jesus, you're front and you're center.